March is Athletic Training Month, and you are a trainer here in the Washington area. Can you explain what a typical day looks like, if there is such a thing as a typical day?
It's funny you ask that question, because there definitely is not a typical day as an athletic trainer. But normally, my day starts out at the Jet Physical Therapy Clinic. I work on paperwork and patient history forms, you know, providing rehab plans for athletes, that sort of thing. Then I move into each school. At JET, we cover Washington, Waco, Pekin, Sigourney, and IMS. So depending upon the day or depending upon the event, we will go out to each school, cover their practices, see if there's any care that needs to be done there. Once again, providing rehab, providing, you know, any care that we need to do. And then moving into the events, if there is one, you know, making sure that no injuries occur. And if they do, we're the first ones there to take care of that as well.
And working with the high school athletes, do you work on a broad range of injuries? I mean, things from a rolled ankle all the way up to ACL rehab?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we never know what we're going to get, especially, you know, when we are covering games. You know, you have your football injuries, you know, concussions are huge right now. So we never know what we're going to get.
So it keeps you on your toes.
Absolutely. Never a dull moment as an athletic trainer, for sure.
And what kind of education do you have to become a licensed athletic trainer?
So when I went to school, it's a four-year undergraduate degree program. So we went to school for 4 years covering a broad topic, you know, anatomy and physiology, a lot of biology, physics, all sorts of different, you know, sports medicine type classes. Now athletic training is kind of changing the way that they're going. They are requiring an entry-level master's program. So you would do your undergraduate degree and then move on to then your post-professional program. After you complete your program, then you sit for the BOC. So you sit for a nationally, you know, certified exam that you have to take and pass, and then you have to be licensed within your state.
Going back, talking about being at a game situation, you're the first medical personnel on scene for an injury. What do you have to assess at that moment? Let's say you're at a football game and somebody takes a hard hit and they're not getting up.
Okay, so after somebody sustains an injury on the field, I immediately run out there, make sure that there's no fracture or dislocation. After, you know, making sure that is under control, then we decide, you know, if we need to move them off onto the side of the field and continue our evaluation there, or if we need to call on the ambulance to, you know, transport them to the hospital.
For parents who have student athletes, say they do get hurt at practice or a game, what should parents be enforcing at home?
I always try and talk to the parents after the games if an injury does occur, just so we're on the same page. And that goes the same, you know, talking to coaches and making sure that we're all on the same page. We all need to be, you know, we all know what we need to be doing to get that athlete back to participation. A lot of times I'll send athletes home with, you know, kind of a rundown of what they need to be doing, icing, elevation, that sort of thing, and then the exercises that they need to do. And a lot of times, you know, parents are very conscientious and interested in learning and trying to help their kids out as best as they can. So that really helps too.
And you mentioned concussions earlier. March is also Brain Injury Awareness Month. So what goes into assessing if somebody has a concussion?
So what I use is something called the SCAT-3. So it is, I think 5 or 6 pages of, you know, cognitive exam. It goes through manual muscle testing. It goes through short-term, long-term memory. It goes through several components of things that could happen when you do sustain a brain injury. And then we go through and we grade it. And then we decide whether or not the athlete can return to play. And then the specific protocol that we have to return to play is also a week-long, pretty extensive, you know, process that they go through. They start off with their symptoms resolving and then moving into a bike exercise. You know, it's a 7-day step program, but the athlete safety is our main concern here. So we want to make sure that we're covering all of our bases and make sure that they're getting back to where they need to be.
And at the high school level in the local area, are there certain injuries that you see more often than not?
A lot of times it will depend on which sport we're covering. You know, with football, the concussions are big. There's a lot of knee injuries also in football. Moving into soccer as well, there are a lot of concussions. ACL injuries are pretty prevalent there. Basketball, there's a lot of ankle injuries. And, you know, you get the jammed finger or the dislocated fingers there too. So that's one of my favorite parts about my job is that you never know, you know, and it's always changing with the sports and, you know, different athletes and patient populations.
And for student athletes or even the general public, what are some of the things that they can do to avoid getting an injury?
Yeah, so prevention and care is one of the biggest parts of my job, and, you know, a lot of the things that we do at JET in the clinic as well. Staying healthy, staying active, you know, making sure that you're getting out there, and maybe even if it's going out of your comfort zone to, you know, try and keep your body healthy and in shape is extremely important to prevent not only acute injuries, but also chronic injuries, you know, that can be really debilitating, not only for an athlete, but for the normal patient population as well.